It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, this is Joy.
This is Claire. Good morning.
Hello, hello from the past, the far past. You guys don't really know when we record. It's always a surprise, but for us, this is way early. So this episode is being recorded on August, what's today, the 21st? And then we're releasing it on September 8th, just 2 days before my birthday. I'm so excited. It's almost my birthday season. So I kind of like
I get to live
my birthday through this podcast episode. You're excited because you're getting ready for the surf trip. How are things going? How is packing going?
I know. By the time you guys hear this, I'll already be back.
Yeah.
Actually. So that's also like a weird thing when we record this type of stuff ahead of time. A lot of times when we record ahead of time, it's because we have something coming up and it's like, oh, by the time you hear this, that event will actually be over. Really good. So yeah, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I did decide to rent a board. I'm just really curious at this point to see like what the waves are going to be like, what the group is going to be like. We'll see. I'm really excited. The instructors who are running the course are already there because they have there's two retreat weeks and the first week starts tomorrow, which is August 22nd. And so they're already there and like getting stuff set up. So they're like posting on their Instagram of like,
that's so fun,
the pictures of the place. And it's so cool. And it's like so green and everyone was probably like, yeah, duh, Claire. But like guys in Colorado, it gets brown by July because there's not enough water to keep stuff green. Yeah. We have been getting a lot of rain this year. And so it's actually been a little bit better than normal, but stuff is brown here. We like for probably 10 months of the year, we only get probably like 8 to 10 weeks at most of greenness.
Yeah. I just started laughing because I'll tell you a joke in a second. Go ahead.
No, go. Please, please tell me the joke.
When I saw, I recently saw Michelle Wolf at Comedy Works in Denver.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if you don't know who she is, she's an amazing comic. She's so funny. She did the Correspondents' Dinner where Trump got all mad and then canceled Correspondents' Dinners, where she's like, I thought this was supposed to be a roast, guys. Like, don't you have a sense of humor? No, he does not. So, so she was talking about how she went for a run. She's like super into track and field. And so she went for a run in Denver that day. And she's like, yeah, and I just saw all this water running because we had just had like a ton of rain. Thank you. It's early, guys. It's early.
There's like all this sky water.
There's all this like wet stuff falling around. And she goes, you know, and I heard that like the Colorado River is like having a big drought. And so, you know, like Arizona, Nevada, like everyone's having these big droughts. She's like, can't we just take some of that water and put it in there? And everybody, it was just kind of funny. I was like, yeah. Like, wouldn't that be nice if that's how it worked?
Totally how it works. Evie's in here again. This is like our weekly Evie segment.
The Evie cameo is here. Oh. It's kind of like coffee delivery, but Evie edition.
Oh, Evie has brought me some undies.
Oh, undie delivery.
The undies are going to grow and get bigger, and then I can wear them.
Okay.
Thank you, Evie Jones.
Brendan is coming in to wrangle her.
Thanks, Evie. She brought me some Baby Yoda undies.
But I like Brandon just came in like the
ushering her back.
It was very, very reminiscent of the guy on the BBC where he like his children bust in and then like the mom comes in to like take them, but she's like crawling. That's the best thing on the internet.
And the thing about that video too is like it was so far pre-pandemic. Like nowadays that's such like a common
thing.
But that at the time was like, oh my gosh, can you believe that happened? And now it's like, oh yeah, my kids come in half my calls. Yeah, Evie is being really cute. Evie has been sleeping in our bed more. I think I talked about this already a couple weeks ago. I will almost always say yes to my kids sleeping in the bed. We never like fully co-slept every night the way that some families do. We tried it with Evie actually, and she's such a light sleeper that we kept as a baby. We woke her up all the time. And so finally we were like, this is not working for anyone. Like, no one's getting any sleep. So she slept in her crib. And especially for kids, it takes a long time for things to really settle back down. So like two nights ago, Miles ended up coming in our bed at like 1:30 in the morning. Last night we were at my brother's house in Boulder for like this big dinner party. And there's so many cousins and they're all around the same age. So I'm not even going to try to explain this because I have so many like groups of siblings that my cousin situation or my like niece and nephew situation is very complicated. But suffice to say that Evie and Miles have like 12 nieces and nephews or 12 cousins. And I think the oldest one is like 11 or 12, but most of them are between the ages of like 7 and 10 or 6 and 10. So there was Evie, there was a 4-year-old, Miles is 6 and a half. There are two of them who are 7 and two of them who are almost 10. So like, cousin gang, big time. The point of the story is that by the time we got home, everyone was so wired that I was like, I'm not even going to try. Evie's going in my bed.
Like, this is not happening. Yeah.
It's just not happening. So anyway, right. She's having a really sweet morning. I basically woke up with her like laying on my head and just stroking my face.
Yeah.
And she's like, Mama, it's morning time. You have to get out of bed. I was like, and I go, Evie, I just want 5 more minutes. She goes, you always say that. She's like, because I always want 5 more minutes.
It's
anyway.
Kind of like the same thing of when parents say, we'll see. We'll see means no.
Yeah.
We'll see means no.
We'll see.
I really want to have people send us the weirdest, craziest, funniest things that they saw on Zoom with like coworkers or workplace things. Cause you know, this is happening all over the place now. Like the past few years, we've really been in it. People with their mics on. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This was so funny. I think I can tell this one cause it's been far enough out. But Scott, did I tell you the story? I think I might have texted it to you.
Probably.
Scott was on a call and he was leading a call of like 200 people. And like everyone, he does a lot of consulting. So like he'll go into workplaces and everyone has their cameras off. So he's like, I don't know if they're listening to what I'm saying, but whatever. So he's leading this group of like 200 people and he's doing this presentation. And all of a sudden he hears this guy yell, put the liquor in the fridge. Put the liquor in the fridge. And he's like, can someone help that guy go on mute, please? Like,
can someone help that guy deal with his liquor?
My favorite, I can also say this, like it's been over a year out from my workplace, but I had this peer manager who really liked to stir up some stuff. She was a pot stirrer. She would never, like, I was in a really toxic work culture. And so all the time, everyone was like, you have to be on camera. Like, they were really weird about it. Where the place I'm at now is like, take care of yourself. If you're sick of Zoom, go off camera. That's fine. Like, they're super lax about it. And so, but the workplace I was at the time was like, everyone needs to be on camera just because they wanted to micromanage you. This gal never went on camera, ever. She hated it. She would always be off camera. And she would always make up an excuse of why she wasn't on camera, which, to be honest, like, I just didn't care. But, you know, the bosses did. Right. And they made it a big deal. It's so stupid. But anyway, so she always had an excuse of why she wasn't on camera. And one day she forgot to turn off her camera. And she wasn't super tech savvy, so she just didn't have her camera. She had her camera on the entire time. And she's typing like, I'm sorry, I can't be on camera today because I'm eating lunch. And she was on her phone the whole time.
Oh, no.
She was like this, just on her phone, and the entire meeting. And everyone was just like, do we tell her? Do we not tell her? Like, no one told her.
Oh, no. Whoops. That's funny.
Whoopsies. Whoopsies.
I had one early in the pandemic, and I swear I've talked to this before because it was so like jarring and memorable.
Yeah.
It wasn't even me. It was my friend Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Heather.
And she was on, and this was, very early pandemic days, like spring of 2020. And she was on this call with this woman, and there was like a pretty big group of people. And it was a woman who didn't work for our organization. It was like a different, you know, she was meeting with account managers or coordinators, like event planners. of a different organization. And this woman was an older gal. I can't imagine that. I think she was naked. The way she was sitting and like the kind of look on her face was very clear that she did not necessarily think she had her camera on. And thankfully it only caught her like collarbone up, but her collarbone up was naked. And this was not the time, like it wasn't the time of year, nor like the type of person
to have a tube top on.
To be wearing like a low cut tube top. And to this day, I'm just like, oh my God. Okay. But like, I cannot imagine just sitting in your house naked on a call. Like, this is where my brain just does not connect. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, your hair is messy, whatever. You have your like ratty PJ t-shirt on still, whatever. Like, but
you cover it with a nice blazer. Like,
but like, okay. But even like, I can, you know, if you don't think your camera's on and so you didn't do your hair and like there's like a mess in the background.
Right.
But like, to be naked?
Yeah, I would just like, I couldn't connect the pieces of being naked while talking to somebody at a work environment.
I can't imagine, like, it's not that I'm like not comfortable with being naked.
Right.
But like,
quote, we're not being like, yeah.
But like, anti-nudity. I'm not the type of person who just like lounges around in my birthday suit.
Right.
It's not comfortable to me.
Mm-mm, me neither.
And so
I have too many windows without curtains.
Well, and also I just like, I get cold. It's like kind of drafty.
Yeah.
I feel like being naked actually sometimes is sort of a sensory overload because like all my skin is exposed and I'm getting a lot of sensory input.
Right.
I just can't imagine being like so just casually naked that you join a call and just are sitting there naked.
Armchair Expert did an episode. They've been doing these really funny call-in shows recently where they have people they'll pick a topic and then people call in about it. And I think they had one around like a Zoom blunder or something. And some lady was like in her bathtub. She's like, these calls we just had to like listen in on, and somehow her camera got turned on and she was just like butt naked.
No.
Like everyone saw everything and they were like telling her like, you've got to get off right now. And she realized and she freaked. She just like slammed her iPad shot and just, she was like, I was mortified.
How do you recover from that?
I barely will go to the bathroom on a call because I'm so terrified of like, for some reason, all of a sudden my earbuds go on like off mute or my camera turns on
or toilet flush or something.
Like some like pee going in the toilet. I'm terrified of that happening.
I work with some people who are like, if I'm not going to be on camera, then I take the call from my phone because I can put the phone face down on the table and then I just like don't have to worry about it.
Totally. And that's actually what I'm going to start doing, because like if I don't have to be on camera, I'm just going to do it from my phone because I just don't want to have to worry about that. Like I don't want to have to worry about some glitch of the camera all of a sudden popping on and
Or just like not realizing that. That's a nightmare.
Like if you're gonna do that, just put on a Zoom background at least. So like if you're somehow away from the camera, then you like fade into the distance. Like that's a safer option. It's not.
And so if you're naked, you'll be like naked in like
a beach
mid-century
setting.
Modern library
in space
at Hogwarts.
Naked in Hogwarts is the title of this episode.
That's going to be misleading. People are going to be like, this is going to be...
this is real bad. I don't know where this podcast is going, but we never do.
In the early Zoom days, I definitely always was like trying to put up backgrounds. Like I did a lot of Hogwarts backgrounds.
Backgrounds are so fun. Like they were really...
Yeah, they were. Yeah. And I've done some that are fun. Like we had a colleague who was... it was like her last day. And so another team member sent out a photo that he had photoshopped of her. Like that was just kind of this kind of like whatever weird, a really bad photo of her, you know, of her making like a non-flattering photo of her making this ridiculous face. And he had like photoshopped it onto like the head of a lion. And we all put it as our Zoom background.
Oh,
and,
that's cute.
Like Zoom bombed her in her last meeting. So like stuff like that is cute.
Right. That's really cute.
It's almost like the 2022 version of like wearing matching t-shirts.
Right. Exactly. Like we got to do what we got to do. I think my favorite cheesy background is the beach setting where the surf is coming in and the palm trees flowing. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is always very zen. I never get too distracted by that one. Anyway, speaking of workplaces, have you heard of this new phrase. Apparently it's going viral on TikTok about quiet quitting. And probably by the time this episode airs, it's going to be so old news, but that's okay. We're still going to talk about it. Quiet quitting.
I mean, it's basically just like, I'm not going to keep trying hard at my job.
Well, the way I read it, basically, guys, it's just this thing that's going viral about like people not really putting forth all this effort. What I see it more is like just drawing healthy boundaries in a toxic workplace. So it's probably people who are in a toxic workplace that are trying to put in 80, 90 hours a week and have no time for themselves. And they realize they don't have to work that hard. And so they're scaling back, which in my opinion is like, yeah, you need to draw some boundaries with your
workplace.
That's
kind of my thing. It's like, let's not call it quiet quitting.
Right.
Let's just call it doing the work I'm being paid to do and not addition and no additional work after that or minimal additional work.
Exactly. Or being tied up in a really dysfunctional system, which I know is out there. Things have not changed. I think that's the hardest part about workplace happiness. And I was such an early adopter of this because I want to say the term, I became familiar with that term in probably 2013, 14. Did a bunch of reading and went to a couple conferences about it. And I would always try to implement it into our workplace because I was like, this is great. We really need to make sure that we're staying ahead of this. It always was just kind of brushed to the side, even though the workplace that I was in kept trying to do trainings about how to have like a happy culture. And it was almost like trying to do this, pump everybody up to be positive. But the trick is it has to come from the top. You can't just like get your employees all excited when you have toxic bosses. It's not going to work. Like they tried to do that so many times. Anyway, so I feel like the quiet quitting is just people pushing against the toxic workplace culture. And I am so down for that. Take a break. Everybody just take a break.
I agree. And I think, yeah, like we don't have to call it something. We don't have to, you know, it was like, oh, the great resignation. Like, no, it wasn't a great resignation. People just were quitting their jobs because I almost thought of the great resignation as like when you like postpartum hair loss is like the reason you lose so much hair postpartum is because you don't lose any hair really when you're pregnant. And then it kind of all falls out afterwards because of your hormones. Like you just are losing less hair. Like your hair follicles are not falling out as much naturally. That's kind of like... That's kind of how I thought about the great resignation. I was like, no, it's just that nobody was quitting their jobs in 2020.
Right.
And so in 2021, it just like caught up to everyone. And now all the people who would have quit in 2020 are quitting in addition to the people who were already going to quit in 2021. This is just postpartum hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've been talking a lot about jobs lately, and I hope people are fine with that. And also, doesn't really matter to me.
It's just been in the forefront of my mind. I mean, have been thinking a lot lately just about the evolution I've come to with the crap I went through with my previous job. And, you know, it's something I came to. I was talking to one of my friends recently where I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm ever going to really get over what happened. I'm never going to forgive the people that really I thought were my friends. Like, I don't have to get over it. I don't have to. And it's going to come out in the things that I'm experiencing in my day-to-day life and how grateful I am for the job that I have right now. And I think that that's our podcast is about our life. And that's usually what we're talking about.
Exactly. Speaking of speaking of life topics, I have a random question for our followers, for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't like the term followers.
I don't either.
As soon as I said that, I was like, that's not what you guys are. No. For our wonderful listeners, this is a wild right turn. You guys ready? This is about home decor.
Oh, great. Let's hear it.
Or DIY projects. Okay. So in our house, we have popcorn ceilings and they unfortunately do have asbestos. So we tested them when we moved in, whatever. So you can get the asbestos popcorn removed, but it's very expensive because you have to get it done. I mean, you can DIY it, but it's pretty risky. And so we're not really wanting to pay, you know, upwards of $5,000+ or more to have our asbestos ceilings dealt with. But I also don't really like them. We've talked about the popcorn ceilings before when we were moving in. And so what I'm thinking about doing is doing wood paneling over them, which still would have, you know, a tiny bit of asbestos risk. You know, don't worry about that when you're answering this question. We will figure that out and mitigate it. My question is, has anyone done wood panel ceilings in their house with like tongue and groove flooring panels? If so, how did it go? Because I've looked up a lot of things on Pinterest and people on Pinterest are like, yeah, it's actually like pretty straightforward. And I'm like, okay, but you're like a DIY blog.
Yeah.
Like I am someone.
Like the guy who runs this old house, like forever and ever go, whenever right. He write articles, you're like, yeah, but you're the guy who runs this old
house. But you're like, this is your thing. I'm pretty crafty, I would say. Can find my way around most very basic power tools. But we would probably, if we did this, we would do our whole main floor, if not kind of our whole house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious to know from people, if you've done it, do you like it? Do you regret it? Do you think that it's like, I don't want to date our house either, although it's already dated with popcorn ceilings, so like can't fall from the floor. But I don't want to like commit to this because you use liquid nails and we're not going to be able to pull them down because of the asbestos. So this is my question to everyone. If you've done it, please send us an email or a comment on a post and let me know. I would love to know.
Advice.
I would also love to know from people like what house little DIY upgrades have you done that you really love that you maybe did not think were going to be as big of an impact and then they made a huge impact. And like I have been reading because I've been spending a lot of time looking at DIY blogs and accounts. I've been reading some articles and some posts lately about how people are like, hey, listen, we need to get over how HGTV has completely, like the grip HGTV has on the American interior aesthetic because everyone now has like the gray floors with the white cabinets and the exposed upper cabinets and the, you know, the subway tile. And like, it's so homogenous at this point because there's like this one look. And I mean, that happens in every era, but I think that it's particularly ubiquitous right now, you know, the barn doors and all that. And like, I really want to have some color in our house, but I also am not a very like, I'm not a joy. I'm not a rainbow color person. I'm naturally just a little more like nature tones.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm just curious. I'd love to hear from people, like what DIY projects have you done in your house that you absolutely loved? And also maybe how do you find ways to bring color into your house?
And send pictures too.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be great. I have a random question. Do you make lists every day of things that you need to get done?
No.
Do you do like a checklist?
No. I mean, I have a list. I would say I have more of like a weekly list.
Okay.
Do you make daily lists?
Only on the weekends. Because things I would like to accomplish on the weekend, only because if I have too much free time, I get really weird about it and I kind of freak out. So I sometimes do, but then I don't always get them all done. So I try to like not get weird about that as well. I'll like make like 10 things that I would like to get done on the weekend.
This is one of those moments where I'm like, oh, Joy and I have really different lives.
Yeah.
Like the least of my worries is having too much free time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I have no structure on the weekends, I get real weird. So like during the week, I've got everything falls into place, things we need to do. But if I come up on a weekend that has like nothing planned and Scott and I'll have like loose ideas of things we want to do, but oh, there's nothing worse for me than like coming home and having a block of time where I'm like, what am I going to do?
That never happens to me.
I always find things to do, but sometimes it does end up in like, right now I'm deep into Love Island and I'm like, this is not good because there's probably like 100 episodes that I could watch. I don't know how they make so many episodes of this godforsaken show, but.
You can come over and organize my house.
Yeah.
No, I don't have that problem because of the kids and because of, you know, we just have so many like,
well, of course. Yeah.
Competing activities. But, the reason I do it has more to do with I'm the opposite. Like I will do it for work because there's so much going on that I'll forget stuff. And yeah.
Did you start karate?
Thank you for asking. Yes, I did.
Okay.
So
we didn't hear about this.
I know. I kind of keep forgetting to talk about it. Yeah. So, you know, Miles has been doing karate now for about a year and they really try to get the families to do it. And I think, you know, first of all, it's more money for them, but also I think it helps. I'm sure it increases the rate of kids actually kind of going through the whole program if your whole family is in it. And so their program, obviously you like the first focus is to get through your black belt and that takes about 4 years, 3 or 4 years. And then they try to get you to go then through and get your second degree black belt. Which I think takes it's got to be at least another like 3 or 4 years. I don't really know the second degree black belt timing, but for the first degree black belt, the first year and change, you get a new belt about every 2 months. And then the next 2 years, you get a new belt like every 4 months. So anyway, they've been trying to get me and Brandon to join. Brandon had done martial arts as a teenager and really loved it. And so he already was kind of like had interest in joining even from day one. the way that they do their memberships is, or like the pricing is, like you can have one kid at a certain price. And then there's just two prices. There's like individual and family. And so once you add one other person, you might as well just like bring the whole crew. So that's what we're doing. So Brandon and I are white belts in Taekwondo. It's very fun. It is like 90% kids. Like I'm in class with a bunch of kids.
I think that's so great.
It's actually so hard. God, kids are fit.
They really are fit.
They're like bendy. They're energetic. They like...
They're so bendy.
Strong.
Oh, that's so funny.
Their center of gravity is only like 20 inches off the ground. Like it's hard. And it's funny. We were doing this like ab thing the other day in the warm up. And it was basically like a boat pose situation where you were like moving your legs around in a boat pose. And I was dying. And all the kids were like, la, la, la. And the instructor caught my eye and I like just started laughing. I was like, this is not funny. I am in pain. Everyone else here is like 8 years old. Yeah. It is very hard to try to do fitness with a bunch of, not even fitness, but you know, to do stuff with a bunch of 8-year-olds. It is really fun though. And like, it's fun to do it with Miles. He gets a little embarrassed, but that's just his life. But it was cool. Like on Friday, we, you know, so you have like the each class, each belt rank has its own classes throughout the week. But then there's also these specific kind of skill classes, which anyone can join. And they're kind of how they work in like the more specialty weapons and skills. Like they'll have maybe a 6-week series where it's all about falling and rolling, or a 6-week series. The one we're in right now, which just started, is about the boken, which is like a wooden sword that's actually comes from like samurai background, or it's a samurai weapon. And so it was really cool because it was the first one, the master instructor was giving us a lot of background on it and like a lot of background on like, hey, you know, this is how you bow in with a boken and this is why, and this is how you sit with a boken and this is why. And like the way you sit down has to do with the samurai pants. Like samurai have these giant pants. And so they have to sit a certain way so they don't get tangled up and die because their pants got tangled. And like the other person could chop their head off while they were untangling their pants. And I feel like I get a lot more out of that part of class than the kids probably do. Cause I actually am like, oh, I understand what you're talking about. This is
really interesting. Yeah.
This is actually so interesting. Like I'm going to go look up some more stuff about samurai culture.
Right. Next thing you know, you're like 3 hours into
starting a podcast research, about samurai culture. So yeah, we're doing it as a family. I'm really trying to embrace like trying brand new things. I also, though, in the last couple of weeks have like really been bitten by the CrossFit bug again. Mm-hmm. I feel like that happens around the CrossFit games every year.
Sure, totally does. Yeah.
But I've been working out at the Y and doing my Hungry Fitness little programming, and I am kind of starting to get a little bored of doing it. I don't go by myself. My friend Amanda comes with me, and also my mom has started coming.
To the Y?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
So I have like a little crew.
Good job.
My little crew, I mean, one friend and my mom.
I picture you walking into the gym, like slow motion with your crew.
Like, it's like the plastics walking down the hallway to Missy Elliott.
I pictured bridesmaids as they're coming out of the airplane, like whatever. Yeah,
just, I wish so much that I liked the CrossFit gyms in Longmont. It would really make my life a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't found one that's motivating me enough, but I've been hearing a lot of like F45. I actually remember taking a class. I think I did like a free class a while back. But the problem with me is I am so into the convenience of Peloton. It's really hard. Even though I could, like, Joe is old enough. I don't really need to manage a puppy that much in the morning. Like, he could easily be in his crate. But it's just so easy to just walk into my little makeshift gym at the house, do a couple spin classes or do a strength class. I've been doing like strength workouts. They have like really good bar and Pilates. Like that feels really good. Or I'll do like a run every once in a while. It's just hard to like go to a gym.
Yeah, I don't.
Just don't have the motivation.
I mean, I just miss it because I feel like
I miss the group.
I do like the intensity and I do kind of miss the intensity.
I do too. Yeah.
And I don't push myself to that. And in fact, that's why I like Hungry Fitness, is because I don't have to pretend like I'm going to get really intense by myself. Because, you know, I think we talked about this a couple months ago. That was ultimately why I didn't really ever stick with street parking, is because I'm not going to push myself in that way by myself.
Right.
At least definitely not on a regular basis, but I do miss it. And I like that feeling of having it had a very intense workout. And also it impacts my training. Like my cardio fitness has really gone down since I stopped doing CrossFit, because I don't push myself in that way because I hate it.
Right.
But it's like really needed. You know, I feel it. I feel that my cardiovascular fitness is not where I want it to be. So who knows? Maybe one day I will, or maybe I'll just start I'll wow everyone and just start running.
I've also considered going to a Pilates studio because I have done a couple classes with the actual reformers. And
those
are so hard.
They're so hard.
I was so sore. I remember taking a class. That's actually not a bad idea. I would do that. And I remember muscles that I didn't even know that I had were so sore. And I remember taking the class. This was back when I was really deep into CrossFit. And all these girls were so freaking strong. And I just felt, help me, please. I can't
do this. So intense. And like all these tiny muscle groups where you're like.
Yes. It's crazy. All right. Let's take a quick break, shall we? And talk about our sponsor this week, Ned, the makers of our favorite CBD products. I've been taking the Brain Blend, which is one of their new products, as well as the Sleep Blend, which is my nightly routine. I slept so well last night, and I have Ned to thank for it. This is not a gimmick. We would not BS you. You know that we only work with people whose products are amazing that we take and stand by ourselves. So please support the podcast by supporting our great sponsor, Ned. Their products are third-party tested. They are chock full of premium CBD. They have full transparency on their website. You've heard us talk about the lab reports, who farms their products, their extraction process. Everything is there on their site. They have over 2,000 five-star reviews. So you can really get a feel of who they are. And I truly believe in supporting brands that really do it from the ground up, grassroots. Everything is local for us, for the state of Colorado, which we also love. Their Mellow Magnesium is Claire's favorite, along with the Daily Blend. So you can support the podcast by becoming the best version of yourself. Get 15% off Ned products with code JOY. Go to helloned.com/joy or enter code JOY at checkout. That's HELLONED.com/joy to get 15% off. Thank you, Ned, for sponsoring the show and offering our listeners a natural remedy for some of life's most common health issues.
Yay, Ned. I know. I said it last week. I'm taking my Ned to Ireland. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that it helps with my jet lag. I'll keep you posted. Okay. So we still have some questions left over from the last few weeks, and we're just going to dive right in.
Yeah, let's do it. Someone did ask, not in these question boxes, but I am going to put a plug in because we are nearing the fall season, is I almost always get a question about which happy light that I use. And that's just a light that kind of mimics sunlight as the days get shorter. It can really affect your mood. I am someone who is affected by the shorter days and my mood kind of fluctuates, gets a little sad, seasonal affective disorder. It's a thing. So I use a happy light by the brand called Verilux, V-E-R-I-L-U-X. I got mine on Amazon. I believe it was around $25. You just put the light on kind of sideways at your desk so it doesn't shine like right in your face, 10, 15, 20 minutes a day, and you're good to go. And I definitely notice a difference of that. So that is the Happy Light by Verilux, V-E-R-I-L-U-X. And they have bigger ones too, but I don't really need the larger one. The $25 version was just fine for me. Someone also asked in a previous question about the no drinking app I showed in stories. This was a while back, but I do want to revisit it because January 2022, which is so weird to think it's been that long, I stopped drinking. While I drink occasionally now, I definitely don't drink to the level that I was in previous years. And I think a lot of people in the pandemic increased their alcohol consumption or maybe even drug use. Understandably so. You're not alone if that happened. It was tough. We were going through a lot. And even if you still are, no judgment. But for me, I was just coming to a point where every single day I was starting to be like, oh, I'm really looking forward to that drink at the end of the day. Oh, I'm really like, it was that dopamine hit of anticipation, which I was not. I was like, this is not good. And I'd feel crappy every morning. So I started doing the alcohol experiment. And then there's also a great app for Dry January that you can kind of track your dry days. But I preferred to do the alcohol experiment when I was really committed to kind of like stopping drinking entirely and really kind of cutting it out for a significant amount of time. Everyone is different. I love that app because it's free. They do daily lessons. And then it's also very realistic for kind of like a wide range of substance use. So this is not for people who have a substance use disorder, but rather want to explore their relationship with drinking. And I found it very helpful. Highly recommend it. Again, that's the Alcohol Experiment. It's a great app. They have a book as well. I have not read the book, but I found that the app was just what I needed. And also just kind of to reiterate that no substance is bad. I'm quoting Dr. Drew, my favorite celebrity doctor. Dr. Drew will say, no substance is bad. It's just the relationship you have with it. And for me, I was like, I don't really love this relationship right now. I'm starting to feel really bad about myself. So yeah, it's been good. And I'm now a connoisseur on all the non-alcoholic beers that exist.
Delightful. I've also pretty much stopped drinking just because I've gotten to the point where like I have one drink and I'm hungover the next day. So thanks,
yeah.
Body.
Yeah. I mean, I had a, where was I? Oh, when I went to Comedy Works, because it's like a two drink minimum. Now, granted, they do have non-alcoholic beverages, right. But I was like, I'm going to have a glass of wine. And my friend and I, the friend I went with also doesn't really drink. And so she got a drink and I got a drink and we were like, woohoo, party. You know, we were just kind of joking about how like we don't really drink anymore. And I was actually considering, I was like, oh, I'll just get two glasses of wine, like no big deal. But after the first glass, I was like, I can't do it. So we got like bottled waters. We're like, yay, party. And I just, yeah, I definitely feel it. But at the same time, your body's telling you something.
I know. I had two glasses of wine last night at my brother's house. And like, I woke up this morning. I was like, am I hung up? Come on.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, my teeth hurt.
Yeah. Speaking of teeth, have you tried that new toothpaste that recommended?
I don't have dental.
Yeah.
Trauma. Okay, guys. Also, I'm about to out myself here. I haven't been to the dentist in probably 5 years.
Yeah, which you haven't still? I thought you went.
No. Mm-mm.
I thought you went last year. No? Because you were scared to go. Oh.
It's okay. I'm not scared to go. Brandon's scared to go. I don't care about it. It's not that I'm not going because I'm scared. I'm not going because I don't have a dentist. And the process of like establishing yet another primary care function is beyond what I can handle.
Yeah, I know.
So it's really has nothing to, like, I don't care about the dentist. I'm not worried about, like, I don't have dental trauma. I just can't do it. There's just one too many maintenance things.
Yeah. Okay.
But I have been trying that toothpaste. What is it, like Boku or something?
Boca. I think it's Boca. And then I also got, so a couple weeks ago on Stories, I was talking about how I always get cavities. And I was so annoyed because I was like, I just need some advice. If like, how do I not get a cavity? Which I also found great dentists, celebrity dentists to follow on Instagram, like Insta famous dentists who have wonderful advice about how to not get a cavity. So you should follow those people. There's plenty of them out there. I'm not going to list all the accounts, but someone recommended, they're like, get the hydroxyapatite. Is that how you say it? Hydroxyapatite? Toothpaste. What?
Oh, and the type of
Yeah. And so I got a brand from Boca. And then I also ordered David's Nano Hydroxyapatite Natural Toothpaste. And I notice a huge difference already because it somehow like strengthens the enamel on your teeth.
Oh, yeah. And you do notice a difference?
I notice a huge difference. Like, already, I've been using it, I'd say, about 2 weeks now, and it, like, I feel, my teeth feel different. I don't know how to explain it. Like, they're less sensitive, they feel stronger. Like, when I rub my tongue on my teeth, they feel like they're coated with more enamel. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, it's so weird.
I've been using it, too, and I guess I'm just not, like, as in tune with my teeth.
Well, your teeth are perfect, so you're... Thank you.
I've been using it. And also when I went to Mexico, I shared a room with like a random stranger who was fantastic. And she flossed her teeth every morning and every night, two times a day flossing. And at first I made fun of her for it. I was like, girl, I've never seen someone after like 2 days of watching her floss, regularity.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, I've never seen somebody floss as much as you. And she was like, well, her whole thing is like she was a traveling nurse and she would save up all her money while she had a contract and then go travel for as long as she could and then spend all her money and then come back and do it again. And she was like, I can't. She's like, I don't have dental insurance. I can't afford to get a cavity. She was like, if I get a cavity, I'm out $5,000. And like,
right,
that's that. So I do everything I can. And she was so she was so frugal. It was amazing. We'd go into a store and everyone, you know, is buying tchotchkes, whatever. If she saw something that she liked, she would take a picture of it and put it as her phone background.
That's so smart. That makes me think of Eckhart Tolle, where he's like, you can appreciate things without having them.
Yeah. Like if she saw like a piece of art that she really liked or something. And I mean, you know, I think then that kind of gets into questions about like compensating the artist for things.
Of course. Whatever. Of course. Yeah.
But I just found it so fascinating that she was like, oh, I don't need this. I just will take a picture and remember how cool it was. And like, I don't have to take it with me to remember how cool it was or like,
yeah.
Anyway. So the point of the story is that I came home and I was like, maybe I should be flossing twice a day. And now I floss twice a day and I can't not do it. If I forget to floss, if I like run out of time in the morning and can't floss all day, I'm like, I didn't floss.
Floss. It's like, yeah. It's like not putting on my watch. I feel naked or something.
Yeah.
But totally. I got the coconut. There's like a coconut floss, floss. That's also great. So thicker floss.
I use the good silk floss from Public Goods because you can compost it.
Okay. For the environment.
From these questions, a lot of people wanted to know our favorite travel tips. Do you have, you have a lot of travel tips, I feel like.
Well, I have a lot of travel tips because I travel with Scott Parrish. So
this is, so here are Scott's like three areas of expertise.
Yeah.
Gift buying, concert ticket acquiring, and airplane travel.
Yeah. And pretty much any efficiency thing that you need. If you need to do something that is efficient in your life, he will figure it out. Like one of the most common things I hear him say is if I tell him something or a process of something, he'll be like, why do they do it that way? As opposed to being like, oh yeah, like just a comment. He always is like picking apart why things are done the way that they're done and that there's such a better way to do things. So I'd say to just whittle it down is put, create like a pack of things that are the must-haves that you have to travel with all the time, like chargers. So we have travel chargers that we just keep in our suitcases, and then we have our regular chargers. So you kind of create like a little travel pack of things that you always need anyway, chargers being one of the biggest ones. And then he always has like a ready to go bag for like the quart. What size bag is it?
Oh, the gallon Ziploc bag.
Yeah. And so the little plastic bag of like travel things that you need, he kind of has that like already on the go. Now, this was something, you know, for me, I don't always have the luxury of just being like, well, I just need these products. Sometimes my products change. I like to travel with a lot of products. I just love, I'm a product person. I use traveling as a way to kind of like use products I would never use because I have the time to use them, like more masks. Like I like to travel with masks.
It's so fun. It's like travel with Joy, you guys, because like you get to your destination and you're like, I need face lotion. And she's like, I have seven different samples of face lotion. She like every, you know how you check out on Sephora and it asks you for samples. Joy puts all of her Sephora samples in her travel bag. Yes. And it's so fun. I love traveling with you because I'm always like, I'm going to give myself a facial.
Totally. So I always have like travel sample things. Like I always put those in my to go because that's why you get the sample stuff. So those are like my travel bag things I put in there. So I'm always traveling with products. But and then as far as packing, we do use packing cubes. Love packing cubes. Saves a lot of space. And
do
then
you have a brand that you like?
Not really. I think the ones we got were from REI, but they have plenty of them. Just read the reviews on Amazon. I'm sure you can find some great ones.
I have ones from Eastpak or Eagle Creek, I guess, which I think Eagle Creek got bought by Eastpak.
I think we have those too.
And I also, the Cotopaxi ones are really cute.
They are very cute. Yeah. I will say that the ones that are just kind of more cloth that don't suck out all the air are going to be a little more spacious, but we do have a couple that are the plastic ones that zip up and then you kind of have to sit on it to push the air out. Those are great too, but I find that the larger ones are harder to fold. So if you're going to get a large one, make sure it takes up the whole bottom of your suitcase. Like you don't really want to fold those. And then as far as kind of, I mean, I'm a pretty simple traveler. I know some people will be like, oh, I'm going to pack 10 pairs of shoes. I will do my best to only pack 2 pairs of shoes. And then I also think like if I'm going to a destination where we could shop, leave room for shopping. I love to travel with hand sanitizer wipes, like wiping down things, like all those kind of geeky things that you do now. But I've always traveled with like hand wipes. You just never know. You never know when an accident's going to happen.
So ever since starting to travel with kids, I've always, even pre-pandemic, would travel with a pack of Clorox wipes. And I would just like buy the big Lysol wipe thing and just take out like 10 and put them in a Ziploc bag.
Ziploc bag, yeah.
And then sanitize like anywhere that we're sitting because the kids touch everything. They put their mouths on everything. Right. I mean, I actually love traveling now with the kid. Like I think I've said this before. I don't think I'm ever going to travel without a mask ever again. I'm curious to see how that belief holds up on like a 10-hour flight to Dublin. But I was also reading an article about plane health and safety, and it was saying like, hey, listen, if you wear your mask when you're getting on and getting off, taking your mask off for periods of time while you're sitting at your chair is actually pretty safe because of all the like filtration that's going on and you're not walking by other people.
Right.
But I love my kids wearing masks on planes because I just don't have to constantly be saying, don't put your hands in your mouth. Take your hands out of your mouth. Why are your hands in your mouth? Right. What are you even doing?
Right.
Why are you
cover your mouth when you cough? Don't cough all over me.
Don't put your mouth on the tray table. Why are you doing that?
Kids are it's so good. Yeah. And then as far as if you have pre-check, that's great. We just got clear, or Scott's had clear, but I finally got added to his family plan. So I'm on clear now, which is fantastic. You don't have to take out any IDs. And then make sure that you are planning ahead by, if you're more of an amateur traveler, make sure all your liquids, even though I just had a moment where I did travel with a liquid through security, that was a one-off. I was very sad. Make sure your liquids are in that little baggie and that you don't have anything else in your pockets to make things run smoother. Double check, triple check. Those are our top tips.
I love the one about having like travel chargers, because I feel like that's the number one thing that people forget.
Always. Always. And then sometimes Scott will even have like little mini, like he always forgets razors or like his favorite shaver or things like that. He normally, because he travels so much, which I realize not everyone is going to need to do this, but he will often buy two of things that he loves, the same toothbrush, the same razor, and he will put it in his bag.
Right. And in case we did forget to explain this, Scott travels for work. And prior to the pandemic, he would travel like upwards of 10 days a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
like he just left for a trip this morning. Comes from. Yeah. And he's really funny. He just bought another travel bag, like a carry-on. And I'm like, don't you
Does have he have that? One that he like relies on? Or does I he should try just,
no, I should try. I should show you a picture. I mean, the amount of travel bags that he has is...
That's interesting. He just that ordered he doesn't one just from, have like one that he loves, and he's
no,
just like,
he's changing it constantly because the man will be like, "I don't like this about it." Mm. Like he just got one from not Cotopaxi. What's the other? Yes, Topo Designs. Yes.
Oh, is it the one with that rolls, but is also a backpack?
I don't think it's a roller. It's like a, it's kind of like a laptop bag, but he just got another one, and I'm like, it arrived in the mail, and I looked at it, and I said, "Don't you have one exactly like this?" He's like, no, it's not the same. It's exactly the same, you guys, but I'm not going to, whatever. You know what?
He's
the pro.
I've been going back and forth about buying a new bag for this trip, which like the clock is ticking, but I get a discount on a few different luggage brands or brands that make luggage. And I have like this hard-sided rolling bag that I got at Target. You know, the like one with the pink flowers on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's so basic. But it's totally fine too.
I know. I always want to get new luggage, but I'm like, for the amount of time that I travel, I don't really need to spend a lot of money on luggage. But I've heard a lot about the Away. This is not an ad, by the way. The Away bags. I'm curious to know if people who travel a ton, like what their favorite luggage is, because that's always something that I'm like, I would like to get a new travel bag. But
I know. It's
Scott
like
always knows what he likes. So I just kind of go off of what he uses.
I feel like luggage is like kind of in the similar vein of buying like going to the container store where you like buy a piece of luggage and you're like, I'm going to be a different person with it.
Oh, totally. Everything I pack will be magical and I will never have an issue packing ever again.
I will take this to Mykonos on my private jet. Like this is, you have these just immediately.
All of a sudden you become a different person.
You become a different person because you have like a carry-on with a charger on it now.
My life will be perfect from here on out. It's so funny.
All right. I actually think that's it for this week, you guys.
All right. We did it.
And I can't wait to tell you about my surf trip in the future. September 10th is Joy's birthday. So come wish her a happy birthday. Don't forget to check out our sponsor, Ned, and their new brain blend, helloned.com/joy, or use discount code joy. We're just so excited that you guys are here.
Very excited.
Very glad.
Thank you for listening.
Any day now, it's going to be the new season of Bake Off.
I was just thinking about that. You're coming in hot. And I say this, I haven't said this in a while, but thank you to everyone who sends us emails. Just a reminder, we do read every single thing, every email that you send. And if you ever need a response from us, just send it again, because most of the time we get so many emails that we're like, oh, we don't respond to every single one, but we do read them. And we just really appreciate you taking the time, because some of you send some really personal things and stories, and that just warms our heart. And we're sending you all the love in the world, and especially the teachers who sent us their lists and their photos. And we're wishing you the best of luck for a wonderful school year.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.